This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
7 minutes after 11, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and you must be hearing an extra spring in my voice. Well, that's because our very esteemed and honored guest who joins us on a Thursday morning, usually from around different parts of the world, I wouldn't say just on the telephone, but on the telephone from different parts of the world, Brother Idris Khamisa is sitting in our Lanesia studios this morning. So alhamdulillah, it's an honor to have Idris Bhai in our Lanesia studios. Unfortunately, I am not there with him, but we at least have him stationed on the ground with us this morning. Idris Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, Maulana, when he spoke about esteemed guests, I was looking around me, you know. I found no one. I said, hey, maybe he's talking about me. You know?
Yes, Idris Bhai, I just spoke to my engineer, Brother Ziad. So he says it's so nice to have Idris Bhai there in the studio. It's much better than having you.
No, Maulana, I hope you don't feel a sense of rejection and all that. And I love you too much, right? And, you know, alhamdulillah, we really appreciate your inputs. And alhamdulillah, and I cannot thank Allah enough that you and I are engaged in this conversation, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Idris Bhai, inshallah, we'll look today at a little bit of the cases that you've been dealing with over the past few weeks that we haven't been speaking also. And then inshallah look at our discussion for today as well, inshallah. So that's all going to be coming up on our program this morning. First up, we'll have to take a break for our first round of ads, and then we can go on to our main discussion, inshallah Aziz. It's 9 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. My name is Junaid Jasad. My guest this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa, who's sitting with us in our Lanesia studios. Stay tuned Radio Islam International.
PNC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Lanesia, 011-852-4910. PNC, usually unusual fabrics.
Mr. Magman offers you motor spares, accessories, workshop, fitment center, exhaust bay and mags and tires, situated at number 1 Amthill Avenue on the corner of Wilstead Street in Benoni. Call us on 011-845-4161. Who's the man? Mr. Magman.
Africa Cash and Carry. We offer regular promotions at the lowest possible prices. Bulk buyers enjoy fantastic deals and many, many in-store specials. We stock a large variety of merchandise from cosmetics, toiletries, hair and household products, perfumes, cell phones and accessories, electrical appliances and jewelry, and hardware at very low prices. Africa Cash and Carry has over 25 years experience. Call us on 011-661-6600.
Welcome to Radio Islam.
Eleven minutes after 11, welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to Idris Khamisa. Idris Bhai, you've been away all over the world. I think you've traveled to Canada. We've heard about your trip while you were there as well. And thereafter, we got a bit of a report back, and then we've been distant for a few weeks. And you may have had many, many different issues that you have dealt with in these few weeks. Perhaps just enlighten us on those few issues, and what lessons can we draw from them?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. You know, Maulana, I'll look at this 4 or 5, there are many more. But it's true, I think, in each of the challenges that families face, you find that there are solutions to this problem. But as my in my preamble, what I would like to say is this. This is my humble advice to couples. I know often males listening to the program, they feel I have a biasness towards the sisters. But what I need to say, that I'm not suggesting that our sisters are angelic, they do not make mistakes, but often we find that the kind of support that is needed in healing, there isn't support from our male counterparts. And what is important is this, that in marriage, and I'll share the few principles first before I look at specific examples. In marriage, you must understand that if there is an issue, it may not appear to you to be an issue, but to your partner it is an issue. Do not ignore it. Do not ignore it. You'll ignore it at your own peril. And sometimes we think that we have such a stranglehold over our spouses, they have no place to go, so we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, and we do not give them dignity. And suddenly, it happens, one day, you find the wife says, I had enough, I cannot take it anymore. And then what you find, that the things have changed. Suddenly the man shows remorse, he shows compunction, and he's very, very upset, and he wants a resolution, and he wants his wife to come back now, now, now. And the critical aspect is this, that on the level of the wife, what emotions has she gone through now? She has come to a point of no return. She's got contempt. She's got disdain. She's stonewalling, and she's full of criticism. In fact, when she sees her partner, she looks at him not with love and affection, but with disdain. She despises him. And she would say, I have no love for him. And at this stage you find the man is remorseful, he's emotional, and he's crying. And so when I speak to them, because I'm dealing with one example at the moment, when I speak to them, the woman does not believe that the husband with whom she was married for however long would change. So now, it's a very difficult situation. On the one hand, I really believe in our capacity to change. I really believe that we can do things differently. So my whole point in life is this, that do not ignore any situation at home. And no matter how trivial you may perceive it, if it is impacting on the marriage, deal with it. And more so, when you are wanting to reconcile, you've got to, as they say, when there are radical problems, there has to be radical solutions, right? So that's one principle. This is based on one particular scenario that I'm dealing with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When we speak about these problems between husband and wife, and especially when it is long-term problems, the things have been going on for long, it is why what perplexes me, what makes me a bit confused in regards to these problems is that why do people allow it to carry on for so long? Why do they allow it to develop and brew for so long before they actually seek advice and seek help? For me, it seems that if a person is having a problem, they should deal with it immediately. If they are unable to deal with it themselves immediately, then they should be quick to get a solution and get a problem, some help, instead of allowing it to brew for so long and then there's so many issues that add up.
Ji Maulana, it's a very critical point that you're making. There are many reasons for that. The one is that, often the man has a condescending attitude. He believes that his wife is so dependent on him materially and that you take each other for granted. And there are other factors that contribute to his attitude. Perhaps he's living a life of stress and he has own kind of challenges. And therefore, when he comes to the home, you find the home supposed to be a bastion, it's supposed to be a sanctuary. And instead of him creating joy, laughter, and harmony at home, you find that he gives vent to his feelings, and the people suffer most are the people that he's supposed to love. And you find also on the part of the sisters is this, that, on the one hand, if they are subjected to a situation at the beginning of the marriage where the man is more inclined and malleable to change, they need to raise the issue. and it's important. And if they ignore the issue, it will build up a lot of frustration. And also, Maulana, I think we as human beings, and we're not saying that we are angelic or we are perfect people, we have really taken the institution of marriage for granted. We do not realize the import of this institution, how noble it is, how enabling it is, and how it's supposed to really, increase your iman, and then your real test would be how you deal with your partner. And I think this is a fundamental, and I'll just give you another example, Maulana, that brought so much of tears to me. You know, it's a pity, I mean, my phone is a bit far, I would have read the text from the sister. She is supposed to phone me up the other day, and she apologized profusely. She said, "Brother Idris, please forgive me for not phoning you. I'm now sitting in hospital because this morning my husband assaulted me, he broke my leg, and my poor child is also injured." Now, I cried, man. I said, how can any person worth the assault, any brother, any human being, you can be even an atheist, how can you lay your hand on your wife? How could you ever, ever, ever do that? And really, I teared, you know. I tried to give her some words of assurance. But what could I do? How much more could I do, you know? And she said, "I'm very, very sorry. I'm here in hospital." Now, this is it. Now, you find there are two levels. The one level is, sometimes there is indifference. But the other time, when such men, such cowards, I call them, would raise their hands on the spouses, and the spouses will stay away from the eye of the community. When they do go out, they'll make excuses for all kinds of behavior, because many of them bear the situation with a lot of patience, you know. And I don't think it is very, very fair. Because, Maulana, the painful reality is this, and I say it all the time, is it is not so much how you perform in the public arena. In the end, it is about what your wife would say about you when you die. It's about your children who know you, warts and all, know you. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no disparity between his relationship outside, the image people had of him, and that image was confirmed by all his spouses and by his children, about his nobility of character, his kindness, his magnanimity, his compassion, his philanthropy, and all of those things. So this is a fundamental. So this is the second case scenario, and I'm so glad you asked me that question, you know.
Mm-hmm. Really a sad story coming out from there, it is, that a person could have such violent tendencies that they would raise the hands and one smack or two smacks, not that it's understandable, but to go to this extent of putting your wife into hospital through your violence and through your aggression. Allahul Musta'an, Allah Ta'ala help us, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect all women and children from this type of abuse. No type of abuse at all is acceptable and is understandable. It is beyond me that a person could raise their hands to abuse their wife or to hurt their wife in any way.
Ji Maulana, that is so true. And I'll just share with you a third scenario. Each of them is based on the cases I am attending to presently. And I make dua that Allah puts it in their heart to show remorse, to seek forgiveness. I pray that even the person who is a victim is receptive to this remorse, receptive to this forgiveness. The third case scenario I want to paint is this, about, you know, a budget, about today, you know, many people are having difficulty in trying to eke out an existence. Financially, there are huge challenges. You find that, you know, and many of us sadly live beyond our means. We exhaust our credit cards and a whole range of things. And, I've dealt with a case where, you know, a man was really, really agitated. In fact, he was so, so afraid of his wife, and he was giving her a fair, allowance, I think the allowance was about 60,000 rands a month. and it included her looking after the home and so on and so forth. And but she was comparing her living standards with the living standards of her peers and everyone else. And he was saying, you know, I'm trying my very, very best. And in fact, I am very, very scared of my wife. And so that is another issue. The other issue is that as husband and wife, we need to have reciprocal understanding. The man ought to understand the challenges the wife faces every day. And you need to support her in whatever you do and however you do it. Similarly, the man mustn't believe that because I give the material things, I shelter my wife and a whole range of things, that, you know, I can do whatever I want. So I think it's important for people to talk about, say, this is my budget, this is our budget, this is what we like to save, this is what are your needs, and take it from there. I'm not suggesting that you deny your wife some of the luxury items. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I think when the man is pressured and then he gets into bankruptcy, he gets into all kinds of deals, hoping to get a quick buck here and there, I think that is also problematic. And I think men themselves must also be the amirs of the house and learn to say no, you know, to say, listen, we cannot afford this holiday. We're going to go for a local holiday, and this is what I can afford. And do it that way, you know. And we are not here to impress people, really, because one of the sad things that is happening in the community is that people are not living for themselves. They're concerned about the image. They're concerned about how others look at them. And Islam is about not so much how others look at you in one sense. It's about how Allah looks at you. And I think it's about living with humility, living within a particular budget where you owe nobody anything, that when you die, inshallah, you are debt-free. And that is also critical.
That is the important part, that when we need to realize that we are not going to be living forever, and what you have mentioned now, that when we die, we are ready to face our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not going to be living forever, and we have baggage of hurting people and harming people and causing difficulties to people. We have baggage of debt and financial burdens that we are leaving as the responsibility of our heirs, and then we have other baggage as well. So we don't want to leave this world in that way, that we still have to remain answerable. Whatever we have done in this world shouldn't be a cause for difficulties and problems for us in the Akhirah.
Inshallah. And Maulana, I don't want to sound like a prophet of doom. Now, these are some of the cases, there are a few more, but let me talk of some of the positive cases that I'm, you know, I thank Allah, I cannot thank Allah enough, for when the wife had given up on the husband, she wanted to have nothing to do with him, and now they're happily married, he's back in the sharing intimacy with his wife, and he's so happy. And this is another example of a person who's got a few kids, came to me and he said, Idris Bhai, you know, I've got issues in my marriage. And so I met with him, and he was also, in a sense, intimidated by his wife, and his wife had given up, and she wasn't prepared to see a counselor. So I said to him, you know what, let me spend time with you. You know, I spoke to him, I shared, you know, I had some idea from his wife about the negativity, and I met him two or three times. I don't always have the opportunity to meet people more than once. And then I shared with him my observations, and he used to write down notes, and he effected a lot of changes in his life, you know, in terms of his temperament, in terms of his attitude, in terms of, for example, giving his wife an allowance and all of those things. And then I went overseas, so I never heard from him. So I decided to phone him up, you know, because I was supposed to have a session with him and his wife, and that was going to be a very critical session in terms of whether she's going to go ahead with the marriage or they're going to separate, you know. And I don't like to witness any kind of separation. So I phoned him up after my overseas trip, and I was so happy. He said, Idris Bhai, my wife and I are so happy, we are together. And he said, I took your advice, I effected those changes, and he was so happy. And here is another example where the woman initially gave up hope, but the man, to endear himself to his wife, change radically. And I'm not suggesting that only the men should do that. I'm not suggesting that our sisters do not need to also do that. So that was the a very, very humbling, very, very positive experience, right? And alhamdulillah, you know, with Allah's blessing, that all these cases when people, you know, people ask the question, Idris, what is your success rate? And it's difficult to quantify. And, you know, I like to believe it's about 90% thereabout. But the critical thing is this, that when people are open to criticism, if they're open to change, they're prepared to take responsibility for who they are, they're prepared to confront their own demons and their own shortcomings, and they're prepared to do it. It makes a big difference, because, Maulana, you know, right, that no two marriages are the same. No, and the needs in each marriage may be different. Sometimes your wife may feel insecure, she requires more nurturing, more affirmation, more love, and so on and so forth, more communication, and everyone is different. So it's about you knowing your partner. Knowing yourself is critical to discover yourself, and that way it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. 28 minutes after 11, you're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. My guest this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa, we are discussing marriage and the different issues that Idris Bhai has been dealing with. We've spoken about abuse, we've spoken about the husband not fulfilling his responsibilities and duties, and we've spoken about marital discord as well. Any SMSs, any questions that you would like to pose to Brother Idris, who is sitting at the table here in our Linasia studios, you're most welcome to SMS 073-173-8461. We can call 0118541548. And you can place your call in, inshallah, Aziz. We will speak to you live on the air, inshallah. It's 29 minutes after 11. You have to take a short break now, and we'll be back just after that. To the listeners, stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Assalamualaikum, Mutima.
Wa alaikum salam, Shamima.
Mutima, I'm coming to Joyburg next week. Do you need anything?
Nare ba, tu kei no lauti. Khali tara kapra lene auje. Maa spice ma baddu male che. Ilachi, badam, sarbat, number one quality. Ne bo sastu.
Oh yeah, where is this maa spice?
Are, Jamia Masjid na pachari che. Number 33, Concord Place, Lenisia. 854-3256.
Okay then, see you in a week.
Mars Spice, the only place for all your shopping.
Arabic Islamic Store introduces our range of elegant, high fashion and affordable Islamic wear. From abayas and kurtas that can be worn daily to designer blends. Also available is a wide range of scarves as well as Islamic literature. Come and view all this and much more at Arabic Islamic Store, situated on Corner Road and Pelican Avenue, opposite True World in Linasia. Our grand opening is on 2nd October 2013 and we have lots of exciting specials. Arabic, a pure Islamic experience only in Linasia.
The Pick and Pay price drop is back. Loads of ways to save the summer. Pacoma Wheat Bix, 1.35 kg, 39 rands 90. Liquifruit, 100% fruit juice blend assorted, 1 litre, 12 rands. Dino Rose Collection Toilet Tissue, 2-ply, white, pink or blue, 9s, 36 rands. Speco Parboiled Rice, 2 kg, 17 rands 80. Nescafe Gold Jar, 200 grams, 74 rand 90. Save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your smart shopper vouchers only at Pick and Pay. Always there for you. Prices valid 3rd October to 6th October. Prices apply to Gauteng stores only.
28 minutes to 12. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and a very warm welcome back to our guest, Brother Idris, who is sitting at the table in our Lunasia studios. Idris, by speaking about marriage, and it seems like we are only seeing doom and gloom. How widespread is the issues concerning marriage, and how common are these issues when you are getting so many calls each day, and many of the ulama and social workers are getting that many calls? How widespread is the problem?
Maulana, it is very, very widespread. In fact, I would say that we have a crisis. We have a real crisis, and you find that every second home, and I would say that at least 70% of our homes have some issues in different levels. Either it's marital discord, or it could be regarding the children, or some despicable habits that people have, that, you know, and Allah must guide us. You know, we, none of us is perfect, and to give us strength, and you know, we need to bring back to our lives Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is very, very widespread. I mean, if I were to talk to 100 people in an audience, 100 married people, I can safely assume that 70% of them have some issues in different degrees. So it's very widespread.
Mm-hmm. I've received an SMS, and perhaps you could just take that now. Jazakallah for a wonderful program. Marriage is truly something wonderful that needs to be worked on and nurtured every day. The problem is many spouses take each other for granted, and these days there is very little room for compromise and understanding between spouses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Yes, Maulana, that is so true. And this is a point, you see, the point is that it's like this, you know. We, you know, let us say you are staying opposite the ocean, right, or opposite the river, wherever you are staying. And initially, you should sit in the veranda and enjoy that beautiful landscape in front of you. Mm-hmm. But over a period of time, you take it for granted. In fact, you don't even go outside anymore, right? You take it for granted. And others who visit you would say, my gosh, you know, you have such a magical view. Look at Allah's creation. It's so magical. And this is a point, I think, sometimes there is an initial excitement in the marriage. There is this anticipation of joy. And then you find slowly, a period of time, the dignity is stripped out of the marriage, and you find there is now no more purring words, but harshness. You find there is impatience, and you there is bullying going on. There is no recognition and appreciation for any kind of effort. There is no more the compliments that are paid. There is no more the idea of praise and thanking each other every day. Every day, thanking each other every day for who they are, the sacrifice they are making. And nothing can be more uplifting than when your spouse thanks you, you know, for the things that you do. And you find that many of us, sadly, only appreciate this after we lose our spouse. And really, you know, for me, I really believe that if you look after your marriage, and if you treat your spouse with kindness and compassion, I have no doubt in my mind that that will increase your barakah, and Allah will make it easy for you. And that is important, that sometimes we get so obsessed with the finding or earning a living that we become such an integral and obsessive part of our life that we just come home, we like boarders at home. We just come to sleep, eat, and use the facilities, and go back every day, day in and day out. So you got to stop and ask yourself, at what expense? At what expense? I'm becoming a wealthy person, but I'm not enriching my own life and the lives of my family. I'm a total stranger to them, and I'm like a bank, like an ATM. You know, they can withdraw money whenever they want, but there is no emotional connection. I think it's a question of priorities. And we should make family life the single most important priority in our life. When I say family life, I'm not saying at the expense of spirituality. I'm not saying at the expense of your relationship with Allah. And of course, your relationship with Allah
will determine how you treat your family. This is, you know, it is an integral and inextricable part of your life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is by coming to this discussion on marital discord, and, you know, particularly the second case that you mentioned, you are dealing with the issue of abuse. We have many a time spoken about abuse. We've spoken about emotional abuse, psychological abuse, physical abuse, spoke about the harms of abuse. You have been dealing with these cases for many, many years. And what are some of the long-term effects of abuse? You know, after many, many years, what happens after that? Do the husbands actually reform? Do they realize in their old age that I'm not doing the right thing, that I'm supposed to be treating this human being differently? Or does it just continue and carry on?
You see, it all depends. You see, anything in life, if you're not prepared to acknowledge who you are, if you're not prepared to realize that these are your shortcomings, then you're not going to look for advice. But one of the things that worries me, there's almost like a schizophrenic personality, that at home you find that the abuse takes place, but yet this person has a different public persona. And over a period of time, you become a creature of habit, because you've taken your family for granted. There is fear. You do not mind it because you've got space. But the impact it has on your wife and your kids, that's really something that is very, very pernicious, is very, very harmful. For example, it can affect your wife's personality forever. It can erode the self-esteem. It can create insecurity. She can become a nervous wreck. You find that psychologically she lives in fear all the time. And you find that it impacts on communication, and it impacts on the marriage, and you find that she suffers silently. She cuts herself socially from all events, and you find, and this thing goes on and on and on and on, and you find that you really become a monster in the end. I mean, there are some things, yes, in life that are out of your control, and you need to seek help, and sometimes it might require some medication. Sometimes it's about you reassessing your attitude. Sometimes it could be, as we always say, that you're a product of your own environment. Maybe this was the pattern of behavior of your father. For example, there are some schools in many parts of the world, you find that especially the little boys that come to school in the foundation phase do not respect female teachers, and they began to wonder why. And after some analysis, some study, some reflection, they realize, wow, you know, that these kids come from a home where the father is the abuser. And the little boy thinks this is how the world is all about, that you know, you can talk to the woman anyhow, they are not worthy of any dignity. They can be demeaned, they can be insulted, and this is what it's all about. There is no respect for the female, and this is the pattern. So when you talk about, let's look at each of the abuse. You look at psychological abuse, and that's something that destroys the mind, it destroys the attitude, it destroys everything she feels about herself, and she looks at the world with different lenses. It's a tainted experience. When it comes to physical abuse, you know, you are scarring her both physically and emotionally. You are really, you know, damaging her. You are, you know, impairing her beauty and all those physical aspects, right? So I think it's multifactorial. And you and I know, as our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us, far worse to break the Kaaba is to break the heart of a believer. And your wife, she's part of the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, I need to just sit back and reflect on something else, that sometimes men are also subjected to the abuse. I find many men, a growing number rather many men, who are really intimidated by the wives, who are even afraid of the wives, and sometimes some women punish their husbands physically, and they often get the children to support them in this. And I've dealt with that case also, you know, where the man is in fear, then he becomes a nervous wreck. So any kind of abuse on either side, I mean, to insult someone or to make an innuendo or to undermine, to demean in public. I mean, the worst thing ever is to insult your spouse in a public arena. I mean, what? Who are you, man? Hey, what message are you giving? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it your trip currently to Indonesia? Is it for a particular program, or are you there on a visit?
No, alhamdulillah, I came in here on the Monday morning. There were a few couples wanted to see me, so I met with them. Then it was been very, very full. And then I spent some time with Maulana Rawat. We did some sessions together. And then we are forming a public speaking academy. And we just come now from a meeting with Maulana Shabir from Zakaria Park. And I said to him that, you know, we are prepared to offer this course free of charge for all the students there, teaching them the art of public speaking. And to share with them, it's going to be a week course, 2 hours every day, with examples and so on and so forth. And I met with Maulana this morning. And then I'm meeting with others that we're forming this organization to develop this. And really, I think it's important, especially, whether you are going to speak in public or not, it's an art that we need to learn. For example, how do you kill the fear of public speaking? How do you introduce yourself? How do you connect with the audience? What kind of topics should you speak about? And at what level? So that public speaking is one particular arena. And then, I also came here, inshallah, I had a meeting, it's a personal, my business thing now, with LenMed. I've done a program for New Shifa Hospital. And alhamdulillah, with Allah's blessing, it was successful. So LenMed want to also engage me to do this in other hospitals. So I had that meeting. And after this today, I'm going to, there's another family I'm going to see, and that family may make dua for them. The wife and the kids are so afraid of the husband, and that I'm going to meet with them. And then I'm going to have another meeting. Then I also had a meeting with, alhamdulillah, with the Africa Muslim Agency, and they wanted me to develop 10 modules on leadership, which I'm busy doing. So it's been very, very busy, alhamdulillah, and it's very fulfilling. And, I couldn't have organized this. It's only through Allah's blessing. Everything, has been wonderful. And with Allah's blessing, I met some of my friends, Firoz Saluji, Musabai Patel, Muhammad Amin Maid. We all had lunch together. So it's social and also for my Rosie, alhamdulillah. And so it's great,
Alhamdulillah, Shukr, and through this whole busy schedule, mashallah, you've managed to fit us in as well and visit our station.
No, Maulana, for me, this my participating, I'm not necessarily talking about, me per se. I find it very, very enriching, and I'm also beholden, or emboldened rather, by the fact that, when people... you meet some people and they say to you, we listen to you and Maulana Junaid, and it made a difference to our lives, because we are not here to demean or denigrate anyone, and we want people listening to us not to give up hope in Allah, not to give up hope in their partner or in their children, not to give up hope. They must stay in relationship and make sure that throughout they treat each other with dignity. So alhamdulillah, I cannot, and I'm sure you too, Maulana, cannot thank Allah enough that we have this golden opportunity of using the medium of this radio station to get into the homes and the hearts of people. And you find that, and the many parts of the world, alhamdulillah, they listen to Radio Islam. And may Allah bless, everyone involved with the station, inshallah.
Ameen. We have to take a short break again, and when we come back, we'll conclude our program, inshallah. To the listeners, you're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned, we'll be back just after the break.
It's that time of the year again when we prepare to celebrate the blessed day of Eid al-Adha. This auspicious occasion marks the end of the Hajj, where pilgrims are cleansed from all sin. It is also a time when we gather as a family to witness the ritual slaughter in the name of our Creator. Islamic Relief will be performing Qurbani in South Africa, Malawi and Zimbabwe. For a detailed list of countries and Qurbani prices, call 0800-111-898. Islamic Relief. We make a world of difference.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo voy a hacer por mí, es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Perez Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Perez Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
Attention all traders, supermarket and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash and Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash and Carry, 011-989-8800. Corner, Kipkas and Piston Road, Devlin.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, 11 minutes before 12. My guest this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa, who's with us in the studio this morning. Idris Bhai, welcome back. Just the last few words of advice that we can share with our listeners. While you are here at the studios in Indonesia, extra barakah, extra nur, inshallah. And last few words to make their marriages happy, make their marriages successful. Something that would encourage them to really work on their marriages so that they don't give up.
You know, Maulana, it's such a powerful thing you're asking me, right? For me, it's this. I think whether we like it or not, you know, we are mortal human beings and it can happen any time. I often ask people, write down what are your regrets. What do you think will be your regrets? And write it all down. And they write it down. I said to them now, if you think these are going to be your regrets, aren't you a fool not to do something about it? And especially your relationships. And the question is, you could ask yourself, how would I like my wife or husband to remember me? If people ask my wife or my husband, for example, tell me about him or her, what would you like them to say? What would you like to hear? And it's important that we be that models, because it is so critical. Your Jannah primarily is dependent on your relationships at home. Of course, you've got to fulfill your Salah and all of those things. But if your home is unhappy with you, if your children despise you, if they regard you as a person not worthy of emulation, if your wife or husband have an acrimonious relationship with you, so then you find that, you know, so will it be with Allah. So it's important that no matter who you are outside, no matter how loving you are, you be that person at home. And you can do it. There's no such thing as I cannot. It's not me. It's not my personality is like this. Don't find excuses, my brothers. Do not find any excuses. Do something now. Be the change agent. Be loving. Give your shushabubalina a hug and tell her, darling, I love you. Please forgive me, my bebe. Please forgive me, my doll. Do those things. Create an atmosphere of love. Because today companies have found that when couples are happy at home, then they can unleash the full potential in the workplace. So that's my advice. Look at yourself, confront yourself, know who you are, and make sure you do things differently.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Shukran Jazilan for your time. We thank you very, very much. And it's been a pleasure having you live in the studios with us, not just on the telephone from a different part of the world. It's been different, it's been special, and inshallah Aziz, we hope to speak to you again next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Allah bless you, Maulana. You look after yourself and keep up the sterling work. Right, Maulana?
Ameen.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Idris Khamisa speaking to us live from the Lens studios this morning. Shukran jazilan to my studio operator, Brother Ziad. And I'm sure he's smiling just by meeting Idris by there. I'm envious. I can't meet Idris myself. But inshallah Aziz, we will be speaking again from myself on this Thursday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.